Welcome to XY Files podcast. I'm Vladimir Kotlov, MD, the founder of Vidma, with a medical background in urology and deep expertise in male hormone optimization and fertility. This is episode 8 of 18 in our low testosterone series. Last time we covered low testosterone symptoms, the complete list most men don't recognize. Today we're getting into low testosterone symptoms by age, signs by decade. The reason this matters is simple. Men keep comparing themselves to the wrong reference point. A guy in his late 20s thinks, "I'm too young for this." A guy in his late 50s thinks, "This is just aging." Both can be wrong. Age changes how testosterone deficiency shows up. It does not change the diagnostic standard. You still need persistent symptoms and biochemical evidence of testosterone deficiency. Not one, both. And if you do not check LH and FSH with testosterone, you are not really evaluating hypogonadism, you are just collecting trivia. When I was earlier in training, I used to think low testosterone was mostly an older man's problem. I was wrong. What changes with age is not whether it can happen. What changes is the pattern. Before puberty, testosterone deficiency interferes with development. In adulthood, it tends to show up as changes in sexual function, energy, body composition, mood, and later on, bone and frailty. Same hormone system, different life stage, different weak points. That is why a teenager who does not progress through puberty, a 28-year-old who cannot recover from training and has no libido, and a 62-year-old with central weight gain and fewer morning erections can all be dealing with the same clinical syndrome, but the story sounds completely different. Let's start at the early end, because it explains the whole framework. If testosterone deficiency begins before puberty, the main signs are delayed sexual development, low muscle mass, limited facial and body hair, small testicular volume, and sometimes those classic long arm and leg proportions, because the growth plates did not close on time. In adult practice, I do not see that every day, but I do see the consequences of it being missed. Klinefelter syndrome is still underdiagnosed. Some men are not properly evaluated until adulthood, when they come in for fatigue, fertility issues, or just the feeling that they never developed the way other boys did. That is an important reminder. Testosterone is not only about sex drive. In earlier life, it is part of the blueprint for normal male development. If the problem starts later, after puberty is complete, you are usually not looking at developmental signs. You are looking at a gradual loss of function. That gradual decline is why adult-onset hypogonadism is easier to dismiss. In your 20s and 30s, low testosterone often does not walk in wearing a sign that says, "hormone issue." It usually shows up wearing a stress costume. Low motivation, lower libido, worse mood, poor concentration, workouts that feel flat, recovery that takes too long, central fat gain that seems out of proportion to what changed in your routine. I had a guy not long ago, early 30s, who was lifting consistently, sleeping reasonably well, not doing anything obviously reckless, and his main complaint was that he no longer felt like himself. His desire was down, morning erections were less frequent, and he kept blaming his program at the gym. That is common. Men will debug their split, their protein intake, their pre-workout, their desk chair, and their relationship before anyone checks the endocrine system. In younger men, the sexual symptoms still matter most. Reduced libido, weaker spontaneous erections, fewer morning erections. Those are more informative than fatigue by itself. Fatigue is a very democratic symptom. Everybody gets it. Bad sleep causes it. Shift work causes it. Depression causes it. Sleep apnea causes it. Having a toddler causes it, which is a very effective endocrine disruptor in its own right. But when fatigue travels with low libido and fewer morning erections, I pay a lot more attention. This is also the age group where psychological symptoms can muddy the picture. Anxiety, irritability, depressed mood, low motivation. I am careful here because testosterone is not a substitute for a proper mental health evaluation. It is not a cure-all for clinical depression. But in men with true hypogonadism, treating the hormonal problem can improve mild depressive symptoms. The mistake is assuming all mood symptoms in a younger man are purely psychological, while never checking whether the hormonal axis is part of the story. Body composition changes are often one of the earliest clues. A man in his late 20s may tell me, "I'm training, I'm not eating that badly, but the fat keeps going to my waist and my lean mass is disappearing." That is not proof of low testosterone. It is a clue. Functional hypogonadism, which is the most common real-world type we see, often rides along with obesity, insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes, and certain medications. The axis is intact but suppressed. That matters because treatment depends on the mechanism. If LH is low or normal and testosterone is low, that is a different problem from high LH with low testosterone. And for younger men, there is a second reason this matters: fertility. I see this over and over. A man in his 20s or 30s wants to feel better now, but he also wants children later. If you skip the proper workup and jump straight to testosterone replacement, you can suppress LH, FSH, and sperm production. That is not a theoretical issue. It is basic physiology. The testes need pituitary signaling to make sperm. Shut off the signal, and sperm production drops. That is why in younger men, or frankly, any man who still cares about fertility, the treatment conversation has to start with diagnosis, not with a prescription pad. If LH is below 8 milli international units per milliliter, and the pattern fits secondary or functional hypogonadism, enclomiphene is our first line approach. It stimulates the body's own signaling from the hypothalamus and pituitary, which helps the testes produce testosterone naturally while preserving spermatogenesis and testicular function. Different mechanism, different consequences. If a man has primary hypogonadism, meaning high LH plus low testosterone because the testes are failing, enclomiphene is not the answer. In that case, TRT may be appropriate. The point is that you cannot know which lane you are in without LH and FSH. That is why I keep repeating it, because the mistake is common and the downstream consequences are annoying at best and life-changing at worst. Now, move into the 40s. This is the decade where low testosterone usually becomes harder to ignore. Sexual symptoms and metabolic stress start to converge. In the European Male Aging Study, the adult symptom cluster most specific for hypogonadism was sexual. Reduced libido, erectile dysfunction, and fewer morning erections. Not vague tiredness. Not, "I don't feel optimized." Sexual symptoms. In practice, that matches what I see. A man can rationalize away a lot of things in his 30s. He can tell himself he is just busy, just stressed, just sleeping badly. But when desire drops, erections are less reliable, and morning erections fade, he finally pays attention. A lot of men in their 40s also notice that the physical and cognitive side is changing at the same time. Faster waist gain, harder workouts, less muscle, slower recovery, brain fog, reduced motivation. I had a patient recently who described it better than most guidelines do. He said, "I can still do my life, but it feels like I'm doing it in second gear." That is a pretty good description of mild to moderate adult onset hypogonadism. Not dramatic collapse, just less drive, less response, less reserve. And because the 40s are usually the decade of maximum work stress, family stress, and terrible sleep habits, men often blame everything except the hormone system. Sometimes they are right. Stress can absolutely hurt libido and erectile function. Poor sleep can crush testosterone. Weight gain can suppress the axis. But that does not mean you stop evaluating. It means you evaluate well. Morning testosterone from 7 to 11. Free testosterone measured directly by equilibrium dialysis with LCMS/MS, LH, FSH. Then the rest of the panel as indicated. We prioritize free testosterone because some men have a total testosterone that looks acceptable on paper, while free testosterone is low and symptoms are real. If you only glance at total testosterone, you can miss the diagnosis entirely. After 50, the picture shifts again. The symptoms are still often sexual and metabolic, but now they get buried under other diagnoses: blood pressure, prediabetes or diabetes, lipid issues, sleep problems, joint pain, low mood, less strength, maybe a cardiology visit, maybe a primary care visit, maybe a mental health visit. Each piece gets addressed separately, and nobody steps back to ask whether the pattern fits hypogonadism. This fragmentation is very common. Older men get treated in compartments. The symptoms also start to overlap more with what people casually call normal aging: fatigue, cognitive slowing, sleep disturbance, central obesity, lower muscle mass, lower physical resilience. Some decline with age is normal. That does not mean every decline is benign. Severe testosterone deficiency in older men is associated with bone loss and osteoporosis. That matters because bone loss does not announce itself until a fracture, which is a fairly rude way to get a diagnosis. One man in his 60s once told me, very matter of fact, "I thought I was just becoming an old version of myself." That sentence stuck with me. Many men adapt downward in tiny steps. Energy falls a bit, then libido, then strength, then recovery, then concentration. The new normal keeps moving, so they do not notice how much function has been lost. This is the gradual onset trap. By the time someone finally gets evaluated, he has been operating with a reduced baseline for years and calling it age. Severity matters too. Symptoms generally intensify when testosterone deficiency is more severe, and sexual symptoms become especially prominent when total testosterone drops below about 230 nanograms per deciliter. But clinically, we use a threshold of 350 nanograms per deciliter for total testosterone and 100 picograms per milliliter for free testosterone when symptoms persist. That is an important distinction. We are not waiting for men to hit rock bottom before taking them seriously. Adult hypogonadism is a clinical syndrome: persistent symptoms plus biochemical deficiency, not a contest to see how miserable you can become before someone pays attention. This is also where free testosterone earns its keep. I see men with a total testosterone that gets waved off as normal enough, yet their free testosterone is low and their symptoms line up. If we relied only on a routine immunoassay and a casual glance at total testosterone, we would miss a meaningful group of symptomatic men. That is why we measure free testosterone directly with equilibrium dialysis and LC-MS/MS. More work, yes. Also more useful. There is another practical point that connects all the age groups. The later the diagnosis, the more downstream effects you tend to see. In younger men, maybe it is libido, motivation, training response, and early waist gain. In middle age, sexual function and metabolic stress become more obvious. Later on, frailty, sarcopenia, and bone loss join the party, which is a party nobody asked for. Same process, longer runway. A lot of guys hear all this and think symptoms alone should decide the diagnosis. That is not how this works. This is the mistake I see most often. A man has fatigue, brain fog, low mood, maybe poor erections, and he wants an answer immediately. I understand the impulse, but symptoms without biochemical confirmation are not enough. The reverse is also true. A single low testosterone number without symptoms is not a diagnosis either. Labs need context. Context needs labs. Medicine is less romantic than the internet. Another common mistake is treating testosterone like the default fix. If the number is low, many men assume TRT is the obvious next step. It is not. First, you need to know whether the problem is primary or secondary. High LH plus low testosterone means primary hypogonadism. The testes are not responding. Low or normal LH plus low testosterone means secondary hypogonadism. The brain is not sending enough signal, or the axis is functionally suppressed. If LH is below 8, enclomiphene is usually the first-line treatment for secondary or functional hypogonadism because it supports the body's own production and preserves fertility. TRT is generally reserved for primary hypogonadism or for secondary cases that do not respond to enclomiphene. I also hear, "I'm too young for low testosterone." No. Young men can absolutely have symptomatic hypogonadism. They are just more likely to be told it is stress, burnout, or relationship trouble. Those things can coexist and often do. They do not cancel the need for a proper hormonal workup. Then there is the 40s myth. If I have erectile dysfunction, it must be stress. Stress can contribute. So can alcohol, poor sleep, vascular disease, medications, and performance anxiety. But repeated erectile dysfunction plus reduced libido plus fewer morning erections is a classic adult hypogonadism pattern. That deserves evaluation, not just pep talks and caffeine.
And after 50, the myth becomes, this is just aging. Aging changes testosterone physiology, yes. It also increases the odds that metabolic disease, obesity, and other conditions will suppress the axis. But when an older man has persistent sexual symptoms, fatigue, central obesity, lower strength, and maybe bone issues on top of it, dismissing that entire pattern as normal aging is lazy medicine. I should also say one quiet thing about treatment expectations. Fixing testosterone deficiency can help sexual function, body composition, energy, and in some men, mild depressive symptoms. It is not magic. It does not replace sleep. It does not cure type 2 diabetes by itself. It does not erase a decade of bad habits. Men sometimes want the lab result to explain every problem in their lives. That would be convenient. The body is usually less theatrical than that. If you want practical takeaways from today, I keep four in mind. First, pay attention to symptom clusters, not isolated complaints. Low libido, erectile changes, fewer morning erections, lower motivation, poor recovery, central fat gain, and brain fog together mean more than any one of them alone. Second, age changes the presentation, not the standard. A man in his late 20s deserves the same serious evaluation as a man in his late 50s if the symptoms persist. Third, get the right labs at the right time. Morning draw, 7 to 11. Total testosterone. Free testosterone measured directly. LH, FSH. Without LH and FSH, you cannot classify primary versus secondary hypogonadism, and without classification, treatment is guesswork. Fourth, if fertility matters, that needs to shape treatment from day one. In secondary and functional hypogonadism, especially when LH is below 8, enclomiphene is usually the first-line approach because it can raise testosterone while preserving spermatogenesis and testicular function. Starting the wrong therapy early can create a much more complicated problem later. That is really the theme of this episode. Low testosterone is not one generic picture that looks the same in every man. It changes with age, with severity, and with how long it has been ignored. The younger guy may mostly notice libido, mood, motivation, and gym performance. The man in his 40s often gets the sexual and metabolic cluster. The older man may get all of that plus frailty and bone loss. Different decade, same need for an honest workup. Next time, we'll get into the complete low testosterone testing guide, what to order, when to test, and how to read results. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss it. If you've been feeling low energy or brain fog, poor sleep, low mood or motivation, weaker workouts or recovery, reduced libido or sexual performance, or unwanted body composition changes, and that sounds like you, upload your labs to VIDMA for free, or order labs through our special offer at VIDMA.com.